Good morning. Great to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We're at the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Are you good at keeping secrets? Does it depend on who tells you what? Something that should not be a secret, yet it is to all people before Jesus is in a person's life, has to do with the way of salvation. And salvation, how it impacts a person's life for the better. Now, by the grace of God, we have come to know this secret, and it is one that is not to be kept to ourselves. The implications of this is our focus for today. And so may God bless our time spent in His Word through the Word itself spoken and also sung. This too is a day the Lord has made. Let us To help us do that, we turn our attention to our opening hymn, hymn 382 in the red hymnal. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Pray. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart, strengthen us in true faith, provide us with all we need, and keep us safe in your care.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson for this seventh Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. An overriding emphasis in our readings for today is the fact that God does provide, and we are to spread this news. Evidenced here in 1 Kings 17, even though God allowed a hard, difficult time to come on the land, he still was there to provide a solution. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kirith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord. In response, we turn our attention to Psalm 66. We'll join together in singing this song.
Thank you.
God does provide, and yet, are you content? If not, why not? And what is to be at the heart of the reason behind our contentment? These words from Philippians chapter 4. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Again, God does provide, even though some things do not change over time, and that is how people react to the name of Jesus. And even if they react negatively, it's still our responsibility to continue to talk up the name of Jesus. We hear these words. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Please be seated at this time. If there are children who want to come forward for a devotion, invite them to do so.
How you doing this morning?
Good.
Sleepy.
Sleepy?
Anybody sneezy?
No.
No? Anybody hungry?
Yes.
Yes. Hungry and sleepy, not a good combination. Hey, I got a question for you. You know what a secret is?
Yes.
What is it?
It's something where you don't want to tell anybody else, but you only tell like when you're dearest friends.
Okay, so something really personal to you, perhaps? Something you don't want to tell everybody, right? Well, there are some people who want to tell us a secret. Should we automatically say, yeah, go ahead and tell me what that secret is? You think we should just be willing to hear everybody's secret? Probably not, because there are some secrets that we cannot promise to keep to ourselves because it might impact their safety. We don't want to bring harm to someone, right? We don't want to bring harm to someone else. So secrets, well, we have to be careful with secrets. We don't want to spread rumors, and we don't want to promise to keep a secret that for the safety of someone we cannot keep to ourselves. But there's something else that's a secret to all people. It should be a secret, and this is a secret we can willingly and gladly tell other people, because it's not going to harm them. It's meant to help them. What do you think that secret is that's meant to help people and not harm them? But people don't know what the secret is until you tell them what it is. What do you think that is? If you look behind you on the wall, what do you see? A cross. And who is that cross centered on?
Jesus,
right? Not everyone, including you and me, we don't know everything about Jesus when we come out of our mother's womb and live on this earth. And so the Bible sometimes talks about the way of salvation through Jesus as a mystery. It's not something that we're going to come across on our own. It's a secret. But God never meant it to be a secret. It's just because of sin in our heart, it's become a secret. And so in our reading for today, we're reminded of this secret and what we're to do with it. We're to tell others about the secret, the way of salvation, Jesus. And when we tell others about Jesus, what does that do for them? What should it do for them? What did it do for you? You know about Jesus. It's not a secret to you. So what does that mean for you? What has Jesus done for you? Yeah, he's forgiven your sins, and you want to pass that secret on to somebody else. And not only then is Jesus giving you the way of salvation, he also tells us how to live with this salvation. He says, be content. You know what contentment is?
Being satisfied.
Yeah, being satisfied. Right? You know, do you have food in your house?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Is it everything you like? The box of cereal? What's your favorite cereal? You have a favorite cereal? I like waffles. It's not cereal, but I like waffles. You like waffles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I like waffles.
Now, if I don't have waffles in the house, should I throw a fit?
No.
No, right? I should be content that there's other food to eat. And when there are waffles in the house, I should?
Rejoice,
be happy, and eat. Exactly. And then when there's no waffles in the house, who do I have to blame? Because I ate them all, right? Right? So we need to be content. There's other things to eat. Clothes. Do we have clothes to wear every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are they always new clothes?
No.
No, but we still be content and give thanks that we have clothes. But see, not everybody is content with the food that's before them. Not everyone is content with the clothes that they wear. Right? Not everyone is content with toys. Good point. And so today, you and I are encouraged to rejoice in the secret that has been made known to us. Jesus is our Savior. And then rejoice that through Jesus, we can be content with our clothes and our food and our toys and everything else. And we learn this is a secret we need to share with others so that they can get to heaven, knowing their sins are forgiven. And they can be content with the food and the clothes and the toys they have. Let's pray about this. Jesus, thank you for revealing to us the secret, the way of salvation, through you. And Lord Jesus, also then through you, help us be content day to day with the food that we have and the clothes that we have and the toys that we have. And doesn't mean we can't have new things, but help us be content with what we do have at the moment. And help us then share the reason not to be afraid, to not be discontent, but rather just the opposite, to rejoice and to give thanks and be content. Help us share Jesus, you, Savior, the way to heaven. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, the secret is Jesus. Pass it on so it's not a secret anymore. Thanks for coming out.
And we'll continue with our next hymn, hymn 570.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this is possible from God our Father, through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus back in on the Philippians reading. We hear these words once again from chapter 4. I, Paul, have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. This is God's word. We pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, called by Him with a very important purpose. Again, we ask, can you keep a secret? And if so, for how long can you keep it a secret? Does part of the answer depend on if revealing that secret will benefit you? Secrets can be tricky, can they not? We want to build up trust with people, to let them know that they can then trust us with their deepest secrets. Well, at the same time, we need to be careful not to promise to keep something a secret before we actually know what it is they want to tell us, because it may not be beneficial to that person or to us or to someone else to keep what they have to tell us a secret. One secret, and this is a good one, we definitely do not want to keep within ourselves, has to do with what the Apostle Paul lays out before us in our text from Philippians chapter 4. Recall what has happened to the Apostle Paul, which leads him to write these words by inspiration in chapter 4. You know, Paul was sitting in a prison cell for proclaiming the gospel. And in chapter 1, he is able to say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Even though he is put in a dark place, physically, emotionally, and even spiritually, the Lord has lifted him up to be able to say, even in this darkest of circumstances, from a human point of view, I still have a win-win situation before me. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then later on in his letter, in the words before our text, in the opening verses of chapter 4, he says, rejoice. And he repeats it, rejoice. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with thanksgiving, through prayer and petition, present your requests to God. How can the Apostle Paul, who has been beaten down by human beings, still have such an attitude? Well, it's by the grace of God. And that's something that you and I need to keep in mind as we go through times of life that seem to beat us down physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that we still have what the Apostle Paul had going for him, to live as Christ and to die as gain. We still have reason to rejoice in any and all circumstances, to take our anxiety, our anxious moments, and our fears and concerns and take them to the Lord with an attitude of thanksgiving. That's what the Apostle Paul realized he had as a constant in his life, even though his earthly life was full of ups and downs. And that's the same for you and me as we go through ups and downs individually or even as a church, as a society. What is the constant? The constant is God provides what we need. And because of that, we can rejoice with the Apostle Paul. And because of that, we can also say, as the Apostle Paul did, discovering what the secret of life is, the life here on earth and also the life after death. Along with him then, let us not keep this secret to ourselves. The secret of secrets being to be revealed is the fact that Jesus is the way of salvation. And with that secret revealed, also to reveal the fact, which is something else that is a secret that the Apostle Paul had to learn, is the recipe of contentment. Dear friends, are we content people by nature? Are we content people after we have even been called to a life with Jesus? When we take a step back and look at what makes us discontent, are those things adding any value to our relationship with Jesus? Do we tend to get discontent over what kind of food we have in our house or don't have in our house? Do we get discontent in the clothes that we wear and get mad at mom and dad for not helping us keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths who have all these name brand clothes? Are we content to buy stuff at Goodwill, or does it have to be from somewhere else? And there's not just the contentment with the physical things. There's also a discontentment that comes to us spiritually. Satan's always working on us. You shouldn't be content with that style of worship. Come on, be discontent and stir up the pot. You shouldn't be content with the way the teachers are doing things in the school. Come on, stir up the pot. You shouldn't be content with that kind of music. Come on, stir up the pot. Doesn't mean we can't have different forms of teaching, different styles of worship, different music. But what's at the heart of driving our reasons for having those things? You shouldn't be content with the Word of God. Come on, that's written 2,000 years ago plus. Shake it up a little. Times have changed. God has changed. Has He? When we read through the Scriptures, what remains the same? How God describes human beings. How God describes society, what was going on then, is still going on today. And the solution that was needed then is still the solution that is needed today. The problem is not with the solution. The problem is right back here at us. We're discontent with the solution because it doesn't make me the center of my life. It makes me rather accountable to the one who is the center of life, and that is God, our Creator. But you know what God, the center of life, has done for us who are discontent with His way of solution, who are discontent with what He provides for us day after day to eat and to wear? He sent His Son to live the contentment that we don't live. Jesus didn't even have a home to call His own. And He was content. That doesn't mean we don't have to be homeless. At the same time, for a good number of us, take a look at the home we live in. Do we have a reason to be discontent? Look at what is all in your home, mine included. Do we really have a reason to complain and be discontent? Look at what we have here to worship. Do we really have a reason to complain and be discontent? And yet, thankfully, God in love sent His Son Jesus to not just cover up our discontentment and our grumbling and complaining, but to do something about it. He took that perfect life that He lived in our stead, and He took it to the cross, willing to be nailed to it so that we could be forgiven of all our discontentment. Not to continue to live in a discontentment attitude, but rather to be free of it. The contentment that God provides equals freedom, rather than being indebted to Satan, indebted to the things of this world, which is continually weigh us down, but rather to be free to realize whether I have new clothes or the food that I want or whatever, I still have Christ. I still have a win-win situation in front of me. And so, by nature, what Jesus has done for us, well, we're not going to find that on our own. And so really, at the heart of what Paul said of, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, the heart of it was knowing that Jesus is the way of salvation, that Jesus has Him covered with His own blood and given Him a robe of righteousness to wear each and every day to help Him deal with discontentment. And so, dear friends, we have a responsibility, as Paul felt that responsibility, to reveal to others the secret, which really shouldn't be a secret, but it is by nature, the secret being the way of salvation through Jesus Christ alone. And then what comes with that secret being revealed, Jesus, the way of salvation, that recipe of contentment. We need to show that we know what contentment is through Jesus by how we live our life day to day. How do we talk about our home? How do we talk about our possessions? Are we giving an example to our children and grandchildren and to our neighbors and fellow members of what contentment is? Are we encouraging one another and being encouraged to see the bigger picture in life, even when things are not going the way maybe we had planned them to go? Sometimes, again, as in the Old Testament, God puts us in some difficult situations so that he, the one who is to be the center of attention, gets the attention. Attitude, then, is key. We talked about the Apostle Paul and his attitude, how he was able to rejoice and repeat the reason why he was able to rejoice. The Lord is near. Even when he was in prison, even when he was not having times of plenty, as he experienced that as well as times of plenty, the Lord, the constant, was and is near. And that's the same for us. And so our attitude needs to mimic that of the Apostle Paul, and it can, as we stay centered on Jesus, the way of salvation, an attitude of rejoicing. It doesn't mean we're happy all the time. It doesn't mean we can't have new clothes. It doesn't mean we can't have steak and potatoes. It doesn't mean we can't have a new vehicle. Just that those things are not our life. Our life is Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul was able to rejoice, and you and I, rooted in Jesus, can rejoice too. And show that by how we go about our life. It's also then having a heart for others. In the Old Testament reading, in the Gospel reading, and also in our reading from Philippians, there's another common emphasis, and that is the importance of sharing Jesus with others. God provides us with means, time, and talents, and financial resources, not just to amass for ourselves, but to use such in getting the message of Jesus, the way of salvation, out and about to others. One of the ways we do that as a congregation is through our CMO, our congregation mission offerings. Some of you give gifts directly to our church body or to missions, and those are known as individual mission offerings, and together they make synod mission offerings, the SMO. It's not that God hasn't provided the resources to do more mission work. This is where we have to take that look inside of us and are we standing in the way of allowing those resources that God has provided to get out and about to do more? That does take some honest soul-searching on our part. And it may get ugly, dear friends. But remember what's at the end of it. The cross. Forgiveness. Contentment. Contentment in Jesus equals freedom. Not to have more, but to have less so that others can have more. More of Jesus. And not just more of Jesus, we also have been given time and talent and financial resources to be of help to others who don't have as much. Now, some do choose to go without, but there are others who come across difficult circumstances. And one of our God-given responsibilities is to be on the lookout for them and to help them as we are able. In Galatians, for example, we're reminded, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are among the family of believers. How can we help one another be content? Share Jesus. Remind people what he's done for them. What they have, the wealth that they have in Christ, and then also be willing to to share a word of encouragement, to share a financial gift, a gift card, whatever it might be, to show our love for Jesus to them. And when you have worries and doubts and fears about where you're at in life, do I have enough, Lord? Can I make it through, Lord? Take it. Take those worries and fears and concerns to the Lord. He tells us time and time again, Old and New Testament, to cast those things to Him. To not hold on to them and try to deal with such on our own. Recognizing the fact that God does provide for us time and time again. Psalm 145, the Lord reminds us through the psalmist that He does satisfy the desires of every living thing. Now we may look around and go, but there are hungry people in the world. There are people without homes in the world. Again, hasn't God provided the means to take care of that? It's not that God hasn't supplied, has not provided what we need to deal with that. It goes back to us not being as generous as we could, and it goes back to others being stubborn in not using what God has given to them and receiving it from others. So again, correct people when they want to blame God for the problems in this world. That's only a way to reflect where the real problem lies. Right here in our heart. Keep in mind, as we are reminded throughout our readings, that God is working for our good. He is able to do all things. And it's through Him, not through us, through Him, Paul makes this clear, through Him we can do all things. He is the source of our strength. So, dear friends, let us continue to do what we're doing here today. Stay connected to Jesus through His Word. Stay connected to one another by coming together as we are. Growing up in Him. Learning more about this secret about the way of salvation. Learning more about this secret of how to be content. And then taking what we have come to know and take it to others. You know, our society, someone said this week with what's been going on with the police officers in New York and what's going on in some classrooms, that our society perhaps has turned a corner and it's not going to be able to come back from. Maybe that's true. But as long as it is day, we have an assignment. Reveal the secret of Jesus, the way of salvation, and reveal the recipe of contentment. And by the grace of God, maybe that corner will not be turned back, but not as many will go that slippery slope. Are you up for the challenge? We can, through Him, take it on. Because our strength is not in us, but in and through Him. Don't keep, dear friends, this secret to yourself. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the way of contentment and the way to heaven. Amen. Let us boldly then confess our confession of faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 9.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We pray, Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your truth as it was placed in heaven. Grant them the rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are stressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Lord of life and love, you do not allow happenings in our life without a purpose, though we may not always see what that purpose is at the moment. Given this, we commend to your care for help and healing Eric Gunter, the son of Rod and Barbara Gunter, as he is scheduled to have major surgery this coming week. Grant the medical team attending him the success needed so Eric can overcome this situation and focus on his overall health, physical and spiritual. Continue to bring healing and relief to Bev Hynitz as she recovers from injuries sustained last week. Special thanks for watching over Ruth Vogt during delivery and granting Ruth and Darren a baby girl, whom they have named Nola. Guide Darren and Ruth through their new vocation of parenthood, and may we, their church family, be a blessing to them. Grant a spirit of joy and unity to the Wells Church Body meeting in convention this week, a biannual event. You, Lord, have opened mission opportunities to our church body. Grant us the means to meet the requests from all across the world for us to come and share the message of Jesus with them. Continue to increase our full-time worker training system with students ready to learn and serve, together with facilities which will meet the current and future needs of our student bodies. Grant safe travels to all the delegates and representatives at this convention. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. And renew the love between husbands and wives, especially those among us celebrating their wedding anniversary. May we, their friends and family, continue to support them in their marriage, living life in your ways. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you, that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Hymn 489. Please stand for our closing prayer. We pray, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Challenge and reminder and motive in that hymn. God bless us through that and in it. To our guests among us, glad you're here. If you haven't been with us before and haven't stopped by the Welcome Center there in the entryway, we invite you to do so. Information about our mission and purpose, and also for our first-time guests, a free special gift to you. Also, if you're looking for videos to share the message of salvation as a talking point, maybe you're not comfortable sharing it right away, or use those videos that are there. There's three different videos. They're 30 minutes in length, and then you can use it as a follow-up and say, hey, did you watch that video? What'd you think about it? And then let the conversation go on from there. Bible studies. We have our Luke Bible study taking place here in the church sanctuary. We're continuing our look at chapter 5, and who knows, we might get to chapter 6 today, but 5 and 6 are there. New Life in Christ study that is on hold this week, and it will continue next week. We do have the doctrine class, Digging Deeper, this coming Thursday at 6:30. That's taking place in the Luther room. Anyone's welcome to join us. School registration this coming Thursday, so please remind parents of that. And if you know of some children in your neighborhood that you might want to invite to our school, let them know about that, and then they can contact their office. If you're not able to make registration, please pass on to yourself and to others who cannot make it to contact the office to make other arrangements. That's important that we get everybody on the same page as soon as possible. Financial statements for the first half of 2019 are available in the entryway underneath the TV there.
Please find your financial statement, and if you see a discrepancy on there, don't hesitate to contact the office so that we can correct that and get on the same page there as well. We try to do it at least twice a year. The first half of the 2019, which also then ended our last fiscal year, and then at the end of 2019, we'll do it again, which will be in the middle of our new fiscal year. So if you need it be more than that, don't hesitate again to ask the office for that. Disc golf event. Anybody disc golf in here? If you haven't, join us. If you have, join us. August 11th, 4 o'clock, we are planning to do a disc golf event. We may do a tutorial first, but then we'll go. I think we're going to do the Rockland course. Works out well for a group outing, but we'll meet here at 4 o'clock. That's the plan. Stay tuned for further details. The Connect Group 20s and 30s are sponsoring this, but this is open to all ages. Hal, love to see you out there. Installation of our new teacher, Darren Vogt, who's been here through the summer months. Some of you had a chance to meet him, some not. He's not here today because Ruth and he are still with the baby. August 18th is his official installation date. That's also then in the afternoon, our opening school service. So keep that in mind, something else to pray about. Other than that, see the weekly news or the website for more information. Make sure you have an opportunity to meet and greet someone, especially someone you don't know, haven't seen before. Seek them out. And if you don't remember their name next week, if they come back, that's okay. We don't always remember our own names, even though we try to give the same name every week. Have a great day in the Lord. He does provide. Thank you.